What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Well, y'all know where we're starting, the Lake Show. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to First Take. Thank you so much for spending part of your day with us. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, I'm Molly Karam Rose. Gentlemen, let's get after it. Monday's action in Orlando was highlighted by the nightcap between the Lakers and Nuggets, where Kyle Kuzma knocked down a go-ahead three-pointer with 0.7 seconds left to give the Lakers the 124-121 victory. It marked Kuzma's first go-ahead shot inside the final 5 seconds in his NBA career. And the latest game-winning three-pointer by a Laker player since the late, great Kobe Bryant in 2010. Kuzma put up 25, guys. LeBron, 29-12. The Lakers, Stephen A., have obviously locked up the one seed. Mr. Smith, did last night alleviate any of your concerns about the Lake Show?
Hell no. Hell no, not even a little bit. The reality of the situation is that the Denver Nuggets didn't play any of their starters the entire fourth quarter, and you needed a three from Kyle Kuzma with 4 seconds left or so to pull off the victory. I'm not pleased by that at all. The reality of the situation is that the Lakers' defense has been horrid as far as I'm concerned. You gave up 58% shooting from the field, 56% shooting from three-point range, and you went against reserves with Anthony Davis, with LeBron James, and Kyle Kuzma, your top three players on the floor, and that's what you needed. Clearly, they're not in sync. They've lost their feel. This team was on a roll prior to the break due to the pandemic. They were flowing defensively, definitely offensively. We saw LeBron James really, really turning it on. We know what Anthony Davis brings to the table. And the reality is that Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo were in that lineup as well. I think that as this bubble, as it progresses, and we see what the Lakers are without Avery Bradley and without Rajon Rondo, it puts immense pressure on Frank Vogel to find somebody that he can rely upon off that bench to deliver. Kuzma's one of them. Deion Waiters is one thing, and Danny Green has been struggling even though he hit 3 three-pointers last night. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he's been up and down as well. You don't seem to have anybody you can definitively trust outside of your big two. And that is a concern, because I got news for you. LeBron James and Anthony Davis, as phenomenal as they are and as phenomenal as I believe they are going to be come postseason time, it's not going to be enough to beat everybody in the West. It won't beat the Clippers. I can assure you of that. It may not be able to beat the Nuggets, because with Jamal Murray handling more point guard duties, having the ball in his hands and being able to shoot the way that he can shoot, with the Joker being who he is, with Michael Porter coming on the way that he has come on and really emerging to validate, you know, the claim that he was receiving coming out of school. I'm just looking at them with some veterans like Paul Millsap and others to help out the situation. And it's just going to take a lot more than the Lakers' big two. So I'm not happy about this. I do think that there's still reason for concern. I haven't given up hope that they could come together, but they have not excited me at all in this bubble. They lost 3 straight coming into last night's game. They have not excited me at all. I have not been impressed with what I've seen from them, and they're going to have to get it together if they're going to do anything come postseason time.
Well, you're right about Michael Porter Jr. I mean, that was always the guy. If his back is healthy and he can start to really develop to reach his potential, look out. And that looks like it's happening. So maybe there's another real player, even if we weren't in a bubble and weird things might happen. But Stephen A., of course the Lakers should be concerned. I'm a Lakers fan and I'm concerned. And look, I picked the Clippers from the preseason. I said if Kawhi stays in Toronto, they'd win the championship. That would have happened. And if he goes to the Clippers, they win the championship. And I believe that's going to happen. But I have to admit, as someone who made that prediction, I was a little bit nervous about the prediction. When the Lakers beat the Bucks and the Clippers consecutively right before the pandemic shut down the NBA. As a Lakers fan, I was encouraged, because LeBron James, remember from the beginning of the season when Kawhi got him and you were very critical of LeBron accepting challenges and stuff like that, but the one thing I'll give him is he was trying to figure out how to lead this group of guys, season opener, that's right, to lead this group of guys to the promised land. And what it looked like right before the pandemic shut down the season is he had figured this team out and he brought them with him, and the guys had figured it out. And I always thought, I heard others say that the pandemic and the shutdown would help the Lakers or help LeBron in some way. I always thought it would hurt him because he's the kind of point guard, which he is now, who's really a point guard, who figures out the chemistry of the team. And an interruption, especially a long interruption, resets that somewhat. They have to figure it all out again, as opposed to a half-court team, or more of a half-court team like the Clippers, where they're a little less reliant on that. Like, who's really their playmaker? Kawhi? His passing is better, but it's not like a LeBron James-style point guard, at least this year, point guard. But in terms of whether or not you should be encouraged by yesterday, Lakers fans, and I am one, should be encouraged. Because from the beginning, LeBron and AD needed a third wheel. And early on, Kyle Kuzma was being pumped up as one of the big three, which is ridiculous because he's never even been quite an average NBA player. Maybe he's hovered around there. He's never been above average for any real extended period of time. He was a scorer on a bad team, and he has certain skills that you like, but they're a little too inconsistent. But Stephen A., if Kyle Kuzma can do that, if he can hit open shots under pressure, then the Lakers have a real chance. They need a guy like that. Look, J.R. Smith, Dion Waiters, it's fine, right? But there's a reason that they're available at this point in their careers, where once upon a time, maybe they right. wouldn't have been. Because they've declined because they're old. Kyle Kuzma is ascending. He's young. He's talented. He has skills. And if he can do that, if he can be that guy, the Lakers got a shot.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, I think he's gotten better since he changed his hairdo because it was blinding himself, not just his opponents, but that damn hairdo that he was wearing for the vast majority of the season. So it's good that he changed that up. That's number one. Number two, I will say this. You know, we have to understand and respect the fact that everybody has a right to have their opinion, particularly since the bubble has resumed. Because let me tell you something right now. If this pandemic had not taken place and the season was on course to go straight through the way that it did, I picked the Lakers at the beginning of the season, and I would not be wavering one single bit because obviously Avery Bradley would still be there. Rondo would still be there. Their rhythm would be in place. They would have figured things out right on schedule the way that they were looking prior to the season's cancellation March 11th. And so when I look at it from that perspective, that's an entirely different scenario than what we're witnessing right now. In certain situations, clearly, obviously, people were not playing together, so the level of chemistry and cohesiveness that you're looking to acquire or to reacquire was more difficult for some than others. We knew that LeBron was going to be in shape. We knew that him and Anthony Davis were going to bring their games because they're surreal. They're top five players on the planet. We got all of that, but we had questions about everybody else, and sure enough, what has happened? The Lakers have given us reason to question everybody else, and that isn't even bringing into account the fact that Rondo is out. By the way, he'll be back for the playoffs, Max and Molly. He's been out, but I'm told that he either has arrived or is about to arrive to the bubble. He's got to be quarantined for a certain number of time, but once the playoffs begin August 17th, he will be ready to go. Health-wise, Rondo will be ready to go. Avery Bradley has obviously elected to sit out. That's had a profound effect on this team. And so I look at it from that perspective, and I'm saying, wait a minute. Cohesiveness, togetherness, chemistry in a conference where you've got Denver and Oklahoma City and Houston and, of course, the Los Angeles Clippers, to me, this is not the problem the Lakers need to be having right now. We're seeing it on both ends of the floor, offensively and defensively, looking at one another, trying to figure stuff out, not knowing what the hell is going on. Frank Vogel and that staff is going to have to get this together, and they got about a week to do so. 6 days.
I know it's like a shot of one is a very small sample size. However, really the Lakers' problem, I think, you mentioned the defensive deficiencies recently, they need a little more shooting. They need to shoot it a little better, and especially their third wheel needs to shoot it better. Because whatever you want to say about for their size or for their position, how AD and LeBron shoot it, it's not like they're pure shooters. They need that third wheel to shoot, and Kyle Kuzma, for his career, has averaged 5.5 three-pointers, so 11 three-pointers he takes every two games, right? And his rookie season, he had almost 37% of them. Since then, under 32%. If Kyle Kuzma is an under 32% three-point shooter, because he still takes like five of them a game, it's going to be tough for the Lakers to win. His jump shot, his three-point shot needs to be more consistent, especially under pressure. But if that's a little sign that he's feeling more comfortable yesterday, then Lakers fans should feel a little more comfortable.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We cannot cancel the season right now. We have to, at the very least, postpone it and allow us a little bit of time to keep reevaluating everything that's going on. That's the reason why we put this schedule together, to have some flexibility. If we need to take a deep breath, let's take a deep breath.
A lot depends on us playing, our families. You know, this is a different – this has created so much of a better life for so many people, getting this opportunity to go play football in college. So, at the end of the day, I think there's so much harm in just canceling the season for so many people that it affects everyone differently. But I just don't see that as the right way, honestly.
If we cancel football tomorrow we're throwing up a white flag and saying this can't be done. And if that's the decision that's made, we'll certainly abide by it. But let's think about our players and their health and well-being for a minute. Do we keep them here? Do we send them home? Where do they go? What do they do? What do I do with them? The virus is going to be here whether we play football or not. And our kids are going to have an opportunity to contract the virus whether we're playing football or not.
All the heavy hitters came out and they want to play, clearly. Meanwhile, Big Ten conference presidents are meeting as we speak. And while they're still considering becoming the first Power 5 conference to postpone fall sports, the majority of their athletic directors aren't ready to pull the plug. A source told our Heather Dinich that the presidents are more likely to push the start of the season from the weekend of September 3rd to the 5th to September 26th. The Pac-12 is also holding similar meetings later today. As we know, the Mountain West and MAC both have postponed their seasons. We bring in our guy, Paul Feinbaum. Paul, great to have you with us. Stephen A., I'll start with you. I know your stance on this upcoming football season, but do those in favor of playing this fall have a point?
They have a great point, and I get where they're coming from in terms of what they want and why they want it. You know, I'm one of those people who believes that if you know what, the student athlete needs to be preoccupied. If they're not playing their sports, what are they doing? Chances are they're going to be someplace else exposing themselves potentially to the coronavirus. So we understand all of that. I get exactly where they're coming from. I get where they're coming from when they're talking about, listen, don't cancel anything, postpone it. Let's figure out a way. I totally understand that sentiment because we all want college football. I don't blame them for wanting it as well. I get it, but here's the big problem. Think about what Coach Ryan Day said. Let's step back. Let's take a deep breath. I don't know anybody's capable of taking a deep breath for 5 months because that's how long it's been. NBA season was canceled March 11th. Thereafter, March Madness and practically everything else ultimately was closed down within the week. It's been 5 months. What the hell has college football been doing? You had ample opportunity to act on this. Listen, I gave a speech to the football team at Alabama. Like I said, Paul knows this. Max, I mentioned this to you months ago. Nick Saban had me speak to the football team again, of course. Last season, I spoke to Dabo Sweeney and Clemson. I love college football. I love what these guys represent. I want to see my college football on Saturday afternoon. And my mentality was, go ahead, find a way, put in the safety protocols necessary, exhaust every means and option, do whatever the hell you got to do, and then get these games on a roll. But that was with the assumption that somehow, some way, there would be leadership, folks would collaborate with one another, come up with a definitive conclusion, and move forward. That's not the case. Even with the Big Five, who's separate and apart from everybody else in college football because of the revenue that they generate, you got the Pac-12 operating differently than the Big Ten, the Big Ten operating differently than the ACC or the SEC. With the Pac-12, you got presidents and chancellors from every university. With the, you know, I guess it's the Big Ten or somebody else. I forgot which conference it was when they were talking about where the athletic directors are going to meet and then the board of directors is going to meet. Excuse me, why aren't you not meeting together? Everybody's fragmented. There's a bunch of little dots and little pieces all over the place, and it's impossible to come with a definitive conclusion. And if the concern were the kids, if the concern were the students, all right, you've had all of these months to make a decision, and we're talking about how, oh, they're going to meet today. How the hell you didn't meet last month or the month before that or the month before that? I'm talking about plotting and planning. Worst case scenario, this is what we have to embrace. Be ready to go. Nobody has pulled that off with college football. So how can you be trusted to do anything that's beneficial to the student athlete? I don't see how you can pull that off. And without being able to pull that off, I don't see the argument here in favor of going ahead with the games.
I think one of the, first of all, I do think that those coaches have a point. And especially when you hear about, like, where do some of these kids go? Where am I sending them? Let alone them pursuing their dreams and the opportunities. And I don't take that lightly and say, oh, to hell with that. Of course they have a point. These decisions aren't easy. Even if they're obvious what should be done, they're still not easy. There's a price to be paid. There's a toll taken. I get it, so they do have a point. And as Paul has told us, and I'm sure can tell us again, there's a decentralized authority in college football. So Stephen A., when you say, what have they been doing in college football? It's kind of like boxing, which I know all about. There's no they there. There's not at least not one they there, right? There's lots of theys. And so sometimes it's hard to get everyone on the same page. But I think really, even if you wanted to take it to extreme measures, say we're going to create bubbles in college football, you would have to acknowledge, as has been written about in various places over the last several days, that these student athletes are actually workers. And then they'd be entitled to the rights of workers. There are all these rules in college, at the college level, about how athletes, student athletes can be treated versus the way the rest of campus can be treated. They can't be treated that much differently. Once they have certain things that are different from them, then a certain percentage of the student body needs it available to them too, or else you're separating out college athletes. Now, look, college athletes, especially if they're actually student athletes and not just nominally student athletes, but they're actually serious about pursuing their academic careers too, work harder than everybody else. Like, you know, it's and so they are different and all that. Nevertheless, the rules are the rules. And in order for college football to proceed safely in with bubbles and stuff like that, suddenly they'd be empowering the student athletes as an actual labor force, which they clearly are. Like, one of the issues right now, and the reason they wouldn't do that is because it would have all kinds of financial ramifications going forward, and even maybe there's the fear that you lose that veneer of amateurism, which is one of the appeals of college football. And so I think one of the issues we're dealing with is a lot of these same coaches, when asked under normal circumstances about talk about student athletes and how much they value the student athlete and they emphasize the student, when in fact what's happening here, the real pressure being brought to bear is the financial possibilities of ruin for a lot of these places or of real hardship if they don't play. But you can't really talk about that because then you're acknowledging that these student athletes are much more professionals than you've given them credit for.
Max, that's the point. Let's talk about what Stephen A. said and what you said. Why is there such dysfunctionality? Because this is a multi-billion dollar industry, multi-billion. So every one of these athletic directors started with the premise, we are going to play college football. We don't really care what gets in our way because we have to satisfy the alumni, the networks, our partners in every walk of life. So I think they went into it with blinders on. They sold their constituency a bill of goods. They fed them red meat along the way. Oh, yeah, we're optimistic. And then last week, we got the schedules. So what's happened here, the presidents have gotten involved. Now, I realize college presidents, whether it's at Harvard or Alabama, understand that football is very important. But they also have a responsibility to the campus. They have a responsibility to the community and the state, which often support them if they're a state university. So they take a more narrow view. They have to report to a board of trustees, which I'm sure there's some football boosters on, but not in every single case. So we have just this whole system converging, and there's no leadership. We understand that. I mean, that's a foregone conclusion. But then you have these five conference commissioners who are all in it for themselves. They're playing games with one another. They're supposed to be collaborative. They tell us they're going to be collaborative. And then one goes this way, another goes that way. And today, we don't really know what's going on. Here's what I think is going on. The Big Ten presidents are meeting right now. They want to cancel the season. But they didn't like the blowback yesterday. They didn't like their own coaches like Franklin and Day and Harbaugh coming after them, riling up the masses. You also have another group of conference presidents meeting later today, and that's the one to keep your eye on. It's the Pac-12. They were always the one we thought would fail first, and they very well may fail first because they are being told, we are being told that they are being told by medical experts that their people are saying, you can't have a season. Guys, I talked to the Mid-American Conference Commissioner yesterday, John Steinbrecher. He told me we canceled because of what? Medical advice. I said, was that medical advice clear, cloudy? He said, it was unequivocal. They told us we can't play football. So, guys, I'll shut up by saying this. How can the medical advice tell him that? And we understand the medical advice is telling the Pac-12 they can't play, and everyone else is marching forward.
Well, let me tell you something right now, and you know what? I'll put myself on a limb on behalf of you, Paul, Max, or anybody else when it comes to calling out the president. I'm not talking about the presidents of the university. I'm talking about the president of the United States. And why am I bringing that up? Because you see the tagline about how he supports the players wanting to play. Well, excuse me, had folks engaged in wearing a mask, had they engaged in practicing social distancing, had they heeded the advice of the medical professionals and listened all of these months, we probably would have a season because the spikes that have taken place throughout this nation would not have ravaged this country the way that it has. And as a result, people would, their level of concern, although it would have been there, it would have been present, would not have been as prevalent as it is today. And some of those commissioners out there, let's call it what it is, Paul, you would know this better than me, not just being the mouth of the South, but being the mouth of football as far as I'm concerned. You know some of those folks were looking at the rallies in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where a whole bunch of people were showing up. You know that they were watching and sitting there, oh, we're not gonna, you can wear your mask if you want to, but we won't mandate it. All of these things are things that contributed to the lackadaisical attitude, the lack of priority when it comes to approaching this situation with the due diligence that it deserved, and it serves as a contributing factor to what we're looking at right now. So that very president that says he supports the players is largely responsible, in a sense, for it ultimately not happening if it doesn't happen, because you didn't want to listen to the medical professionals. They clearly didn't listen to anybody. And as a result, we are where we are.
Stephen A., in I think that's a very good point. In my memory, in my lifetime, when it comes to issues of health, generally politicians, especially on the level that we're talking, defer to the experts. So there's expertise infused in decisions that are made. And that has not been the case here. It was politicized very early to disastrous consequences. And so you're absolutely right about that. That said, even were everyone wearing masks, I don't know that the curve would be crushed in such a way at this point that people could get together and play football at the college level. And I want to say something about this quickly, guys, because I've been pessimistic from the beginning. In fact, I said there's 0% chance they're going to finish a college football season. I didn't know whether they would even start it, right? And we had coaches on this show and others who were optimistic about it, and I was told sometimes that I was being pessimistic, and my prediction is when it's canceled, a lot of those, when asked, will say, well, we don't like to look at the downside. We always want to be optimistic and hopeful. But that's foolish, because it's good to be optimistic and hopeful. So long as that's a sober assessment and you say, okay, we really, really want to do this. Let's look at a way where we can actually do this, observing reality and having that reality have an effect on your decision making, so they could still have tried everything at their disposal. What if we created bubbles? Okay, we can't do that. What if we tried to approximate bubbles and we limited the schedule and we limited travel? And if they got on that early and exhausted every means and every idea, maybe they still couldn't have a season. But at least in that way, they could later on defend their optimism in the sense that, look, we were trying everything. They never took a serious approach to this, and their optimism, which is just taken on faith, oh, we just believe we're going to have a college football season, they made no preparations that were serious in order to have one. They might not have had one anyway, but they never gave themselves a real fighting chance.
No question. We all agree on that. And here's what we do know. The Big Ten's currently meeting. The Pac-12's meeting later today. We will keep you up to speed as soon as a decision breaks. We have Paul on speed dial. So we are all over it. Go ahead, Stephen A.
Molly, I just want to say my statement. I want to be very, very clear on behalf of this show. My statement was not a political statement. It's a common sense statement. Ain't a question that it's not about politics. It's not about partisanship. It's not about right or left or anything like that. I don't give a damn who you are, left, right, green, whatever. Wear a damn mask and engage in social distancing so we can help ourselves get through this, period.
100%. It's a health issue. For more Paul, check out the Paul Feinbaum Show daily, 3 to 7 Eastern, every day. He's on the SEC Network and ESPN Radio. Paul, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much for being with us.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Meanwhile, the Indians' Mike Clevinger will not make his scheduled Tuesday start against the Cubs and instead will go into quarantine and undergo testing while away from teammates, per our Jeff Passan, who will be with us momentarily. Clevinger accompanied teammate Zach Plesac when he went out on Saturday night in Chicago. Plesac previously had been sent home for violating protocol, but Clevinger flew home with the team, which did not know about his violation before it departed. The Hall of Famer, Chipper Jones, weighed in and was not having any of it. Take a listen to this.
It's very, very irresponsible of those two. I know that both are saying, you know, it was somewhat innocent, but the fact of the matter is you cannot make this mistake at this time, especially with what you have seen happen, you know, with the Marlins and the Cardinals up until this point. And, you know, it's as innocent as it may have been. It was pretty selfish for them to go out and about and break team protocols and put the rest of the team and maybe some other players in the league at risk.
Chipper Jones calling it selfish. And guys, given the amount of cases that we've seen, especially in Miami and Arizona, baseball is now considering a bubble format to shore up the playoffs. Jeff Passan with us now. Jeff, we'll be with you in just a moment. Thanks for being here. Max, I'll start with you, right? How confident are you that baseball will finish the season?
Not extremely, but I'm not as pessimistic as, say, the NFL, which I'm telling you right now. Just take this to the bank, everyone. 0% chance the NFL crowns a champion, you know, unless they radically change their plan. There will be no college football champion if they even play this year. I've told you that from the beginning. At least Major League Baseball looked and said, not even half a season. We'll play 60 games. We'll try and get through 60 games. And now they're talking about a bubble format for the playoffs. The players' union has not been their own friends through this, I don't think. Jeff would know better than I, but the way it's been reported, and I understand that the owners never really fostered a trusting relationship with the players, having robbed and cheated them through the years, lied about it constantly, been hit with collusion and lost collusion cases to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. So I get it, but in this case, the players should have been, were really dumb. They should have been much smarter than they were. And by the way, Clevenger, I think I read this in your article, Jeff, said a month ago something like, hey, we're not going to run to daddy about this. It's not going to be that sort of thing where we involve the executives. We're going to, you know, police ourselves in-house because that adds accountability. Dude, you're saying this and then you're going out and failing to police yourself. That's why that police yourself BS is what I just said it was in baseball. It frequently is. This was very irresponsible but predictable. Of course you need some kind of bubble or at least pseudo-bubble protocol. That said, Molly, to answer the question again, I don't think it's impossible that they finish if they're because they're playing so few games compared to the normal schedule. They're jamming it in. They did things like seven innings for doubleheaders, man on second, you know, as soon as you're in extra innings. So they have a chance to finish, particularly since they seem to be willing to review and change major issues like a bubble for the postseason midstream. I'm not optimistic, but I wouldn't rule it out.
Go ahead, Jeff, get in here. I want to make sure you speak first. Go ahead. I'll piggyback off you.
Oh, I appreciate that, Stephen A. Listen, I just wanted to follow you up because I know you're going to go on one here. But oh. I think a lot of what Max said really does make sense. And here's the problem with baseball when you get to the postseason. The reason that they are playing this year, guys, is because there is $1 billion+ to be made via television revenue in October. All of this is a prelude to the postseason. And so you need sanctity in October. You cannot have a Marlins-type situation. You cannot have a Cardinals-type situation. They've got days to make up during the regular season. In the postseason, there are not any days to make up. So if you have an outbreak on, say, the New York Yankees, are you telling me that Major League Baseball is suddenly going to just say to the Yankees, nah, you guys are out. We can't make up these lost games, so you have to forfeit and you're done with the play. Clearly, that's not going to happen. Whether it's in LA, whether it's in the Chicago area, whether it's in New York, there are different possibilities that are being discussed right now by Major League Baseball. These are preliminary discussions, but they are going to get serious soon because MLB understands something very unequivocally. If it does not have a postseason bubble this year, it is running the risk of its entire playoff structure being null and void. And that is just something that it's not going to put itself in a position to have.
Well, I was of the mindset that the baseball season was in imminent danger and it was on the verge of being canceled after the Miami Marlins, like 17 to 18 players tested positive. And then that was followed up by the St. Louis Cardinals. We understand that. So the MLB made some modifications. It seemed to be working to some degree. And then we get to this. And I got to admit to you, I disagree with Chipper Jones. And guess why I disagree with Chipper Jones, Jeff? I don't think he was hard enough at all. To say they were selfish doesn't even begin to explain. Let me make sure, because I want to make sure please, Zach, is that how you pronounce his name? Plessing or please, Zach? What is it?
Please, Zach.
I mean, I want to make sure I got the
pronunciation. Please, Zach.
Please, Zach, right?
Who's that?
Think
damn
about
Plesak's
this, y'all.
Nephew, right, Jeff?
Who cares, Max? Who cares? That ain't the point. Here's the point.
Men.
This brother is in his second year. his second year in the Major League Baseball. You're a puppy in this business, and you violate rules already? You just got here. You just got here. You have barely passed gas, and here you are breaking rules. And in the case of Clevinger, let's take this into account. This is your fifth year in Cleveland. To me, it wasn't even the fact that he violated protocol. He didn't tell the team, and he was around them. Mm-hmm. So you endangered everybody else. Do you know what I would want to do to him if I was one of his teammates and you unnecessarily endangered me with that nonsense? It's egregious what they did. There's no excuse for it, but it's believable and it's predictable. And here's why, Jeff, because I've said this on many occasions, and I'm going to say it again. Notice how there's a bubble with Major League Baseball. There's a bubble with the National Hockey League. Everybody's talking about how the NFL ultimately will have this bubble, some kind of bubble format. Maybe not in one place, but they'll be restricted to some degree. Major League Baseball players, however, always get to find a way, for the most part, not completely, but for the most part, to police themselves. Always last to the party. Steroids era, they last to the party. I mean, everybody, everything, the amphetamines, everything. It doesn't matter what you point to. Major League Baseball players have always been given a license and a latitude to operate as it pertains to policing themselves more so than any other league out there. And here they were again. It's a pandemic. This ain't some, oh, wait, we're not going to engage in brawls or fights. Oh, no, no. This is a pandemic, a virus that has ravaged the globe. All right, 25% of the cases out there in the United States, by the way. Okay, we get all of that. And Major League Baseball players, none of them medical professionals, mind you, sat up there and said, we got this. We ain't agreeing to a bubble. We want the freedom to travel. We shouldn't have to be restricted. Blah, 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 blah. The NBA players should be given profound credit for negotiating a deal that ensured their safety. They're making incredible, incredible sacrifices for the betterment of the league. Major League Baseball players, once again, thinking about themselves, and one of their own, two of their own, went rogue. And one of them just got into the damn league. Ain't that something?
You're right.
And Stephen A., I think you brought up a really good point about the teammates. I'm going to point out one teammate in particular. Carlos Carrasco has been a linchpin of the Indians for years now, a great person in the community. Last year, he was diagnosed with leukemia, and Carlos Carrasco ended up on the same exact flight that Mike Clevinger did, because Mike Clevinger did not tell the team that he had been out with Zach Plesac. This was a player who had the opportunity in Mike Clevinger to come clean with his teammates after one of them, after Zach Plesac, got caught by the security officer back at the hotel at 3:00 in the morning. He was coming back from his night out in Chicago. Mike Clevinger never made it back to the hotel. And so he was, he just sort of was trying to slink by there, and ultimately, through the investigation that the organization did, found out that not only did he go out, but he got on the plane with them. Now, the
Clevinger.
Indians are not
stop the presses,
particularly
Jeff.
Concerned.
Stop the presses, Jeff. Are you telling me that, please, Zach, I want to make sure I heard this correctly, Max, there's certain things that require a pause, Max, Are you telling me that one player got busted at 3:00 a.m. trying to sneak back into the hotel, and the other didn't even come back? Is that what you just said?
That's what I just said, Stephen A.
Oh, my God. Go ahead, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Plesac had to rent a car, right, to catch up, but Clevinger got on the plane. By the way, Clevinger's a really good pitcher. Like, Clevinger's quite good, and he hasn't made his money yet. And you have to wonder about a guy like that who's not yet 30 years old. When teams take a look at him, you have to ask yourself, is that the kind of presence you want on the team? He may have cost himself money. He may have limited his market in some way. And this is a guy who, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, I don't think he's made 7 figures yet in a season. I think this was supposed to be the first year. I looked it up earlier, in preparation for today's show. I, according to Baseball Reference, he hasn't made, if I'm remembering correctly, he hasn't made 7 figures yet. This is a guy who, if he's looking to get paid, has to really avoid these sorts of things. Now, I'll say this. I'm a Yankees fan.
So he bet a match.
And knowing about, like, what's that?
I said, so what you said, he's bitter, so he's out there spreading the Rona. That's what we said. That's what we got to conclude. That's
well,
what
that I'm concluding.
Hey, he's been he's
that
bitter,
might
so
be, but I'll say that he may have cost himself money.
What is it? What I'm saying? You know?
He may have cost himself money. And as I said, I'm a Yankees fan, so I know all about the stories and read all the stuff. My father's told me about, like, what Mickey Mantle, could you imagine Mickey Mantle, Billy Martin, and Whitey Ford during a pandemic? Like, they would be observing protocols? That come on, stretches.
What you about to tell me, Jeff?
Credulity.
What you about to tell me next, Jeff? He went out to get some, Jeff, what you about to tell me next? He went out to get some lemon pepper wings? Is that what you're about to tell me, Jeff? I just want to know. I mean, hell, we know this much, right? I mean, is that what he did? Is that
thank
what he did? When I get some lemon pepper wings?
God
I'm just saying. Since we trying
God
to find
the,
out my thought on that
is Clevenger
right?
probably.
God, the Indians are not playing the Braves.
Clevenger, who's very good, through his irresponsible behavior, not only risked his teammates, but as a result, may have limited his market eventually.
Yeah.
No we question. I will leave you with this. As you all are focused on the extracurricular activities, I'm focused on that earlier detail that he got on the plane with a teammate that just fought leukemia and is immunocompromised. So that's what's concerning to me. And that's why this is so scary, because you can't play with stuff like that. It's not
irresponsible.
Fair.
Irresponsible. Well, selfish.
No. On so
Bubble
many
or
levels.
Nothing, everybody.
Jeff, thank you so much for being with us.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.